어떻게 단남편 학생 따스한지 굳이 갑디다 저준전 배양 내시 아니지 로이 두송 그러봐 아니 제지고 대바치 맞디니 야라도 봐 진대 시체네 아니 두시 배송 치에 어떤 데시다 강도도 쓴 제지고 두배시 어떤 데를
So as usual, bring to mind Manjushri in the space in front of you, and then develop this heartfelt devotion towards Manjushri, and then perform the seven branch to worship, and then as usual, also do the visualization of the flow of nectar, purifying your obscurations and developing wisdom. Yeah, so try to do this. With a concentrated mind. protector, Manjushri, holds this heart, this crucial text, involving his world, all things as they are, whose understanding shines forth as the sun unclouded by the farms or trees of ignorance, whose is the 60 ways of the patient love of Father for his only Son, all creatures caught in some samsara, suffering. Thunder proclamation in Dharma arouses us from the stifle of our delusions and frees us from the iron chains of our karma, whose powerful sword of wisdom heals down suffering wherever its sprouts appear, clearing away the darkness of void. I entreat you, O Manjushri, with many bodies endowed with 112 months of a Buddha, who's completed the 10 stages, achieving the highest perfection of a Bodhisattva, who has been pure from the beginning. O Manjushri, all loving one, with the brilliance of your wisdom, eliminate the darkness enclosing mind, enlighten our intelligence and wisdom so that we may gain insight in the Buddhist words and texts that explain them. Before class, we do a short meditation based on Manjushri, right? We bring to mind Manjushri, and then we perform the seven branch of worship, and then we make heartfelt prayers. So making heartfelt prayers is very important. It makes a big difference, you know, to our studies here. We make heartfelt prayers in order to pacify the obstacles that may arise, you know, during the session, in the course of listening to the teachings and so forth. And we make heartfelt prayers as well, so that we can understand, you know, understand the Dharma when we learn and study it. Yeah. So it is very important to make heartfelt prayers. Yeah. On the basis of single-pointed faith. With single-pointed faith, we make strong prayers, you know, to be free of obstacles and to have success in our studies, to learn the Dharma, then it will make a big difference. And when we make prayers, you know, we need to make heartfelt prayers and heartfelt prayers all the time. Yeah. So as you know, as we've been talking about karma recently, isn't it? Yeah. So it should be the prayers should be strong, heartfelt, and enduring.
Ani kewe pachaya shaya, o tindeye jani jik shukta da gyurunga ji yoba ina, ani lopun chaya la da gale mehe ji. Yungtuye inbare, da cede la machung na yang, chima la yang jik da, abadu nambu shung kya chenpo la, tosang chaya ge pachaya tupu shi shaya. O ti kebar chenpo ye inbare.
So it's very important to pray and to also to study, to learn the Dharma. In a very powerful way, yeah? And to do it in a very strong way, powerful way, and to sustain that over a long period of time. For if we do this, we will definitely be able to leave many virtuous imprints on our minds, and we will learn, we will come to learn the Dharma. But even in the case where nothing much happens, you know. But if you work at it, you know, definitely you will make a difference to us knowing the Dharma in our future lives.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when we pray, while we pray, we do pray, but perhaps, you know, at times it's not very heartfelt. Yeah, you know, and the prayers that we make are not very strong, and they don't really last. Yeah. So therefore, perhaps then, you know, we may not feel any positive effects from such prayers. Yeah. So, you know, in whatever we do, you know, but in the case of study, learning the Dharma, we need to do it in a, we need to do it in a, to do it well. You know, put effort and sustain that over time, you know, then we will see results. Yeah. So if we don't have that strong wish, you know, to learn, you know, yeah, that strong wish to learn from outside, then of course, then perhaps we will not achieve much. Yeah. So when we were looking at the truth of suffering, yeah, we talked about the suffering aggregates, didn't we? So when we talk about the suffering aggregates, yeah, we are primarily, yeah, talking about the contaminated, appropriated physical and mental aggregates that we have inherited, right? Isn't it? Yeah. Because of having these contaminated and appropriated aggregates, you know, when we meet with the smallest of conditions, you know, then suffering is readily produced, and we experience suffering almost immediately. So, as it is said, right, you know, that our suffering aggregates, this contaminated, appropriated physical and mental aggregates, you know, are in the nature of suffering, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Why do we say that it's in the nature of suffering? Even though in any particular time when suffering is not manifest, when we are not, you know, experiencing any unpleasant sensations or feelings, you know, but because it is in the nature of suffering, therefore, when we meet with the slightest of conditions, you know, suffering is readily produced. Yeah. So if what are the causes that produce these suffering aggregates? So if you analyze, so the whole variety of conditions, you know, come together and produce and these suffering aggregates. Yeah. So we create all sorts of actions. You know, and then and these contaminated actions then produce this suffering aggregate. Yeah. So, and this is what is discussed under the truth of origins of suffering. The contaminated physical and mental aggregates is a result of contaminated actions. Yeah. Yeah. So from where does the contaminated actions arise, and why do we engage in these actions in the first place? Primarily because on the basis of mistakening, you know, that which is by nature to be suffering, by nature to be unpleasant, we mistakenly apprehend those objects to be pleasant, to be pleasurable. And then, with that mistaken apprehension, then we get emotionally involved with those objects. We get attached. And then, there comes then all the contaminated actions. So on the basis of a mistakening that which is by nature unpleasant, by nature suffering to be something pleasurable, something pleasant, then based on the mistaken apprehension, then attachment arises. And from attachment, then we engage in all sorts of contaminated actions. So in the case of being preoccupied with the interests of this life alone, attachment to because of attachment to the happiness of this life, and then all kinds of non-virtues are created, starting from killing, and the list goes on, right? And these, when these actions are created, then when they ripen, then these actions then project or throws us into the miserable realms. So because of attachment to happiness of this life, we engage in non-virtue, then that throws us into the lower realms. Then on top of that, then because of attachment and desire to experience enjoyment in the future, then we create we engage in certain actions, such as even giving, generosity, and so forth, motivated by a wish or desire to experience happiness or enjoyments in the future. So then we engage in these actions, no doubt meritorious karma, but this karma then causes us to get a rebirth as a human or a desire of God.
Rishi nyingbo mewa tongche, tile da nangi tengen zina tene jibi dewa dila ani dewe tsowa jike, tila seche sebe ongi da nyeshik saki yore nama tindegi jingi da tondayin suk sumeru sudok sumegi ani jik kamru jabar chihe.
So whilst then there are individuals or persons who may not be attracted, to the desirable objects, external desirable objects, but rather they are attracted, attached to the bliss arising from meditative concentration. Right? So driven by that attachment for the kind of bliss that arises from meditative concentration, they then accumulate the karma they will throw them into the form and formless realm. So from this you can see, and that's why the teachings say that attachment, you know, because of attachment, then one goes to the lower realms. Because of attachment, one is born in cyclic existence. The rebirth as the six types of beings in cyclic existence comes from attachment. So attachment arises because of mistakening suffering for happiness, isn't it? Yeah. So then that begets the next question. Yeah. How does this happen? You
know?
So we analyze, right? Why is it that we apprehend, you know? Why do you say that we develop the attachment that comes from apprehending that which is suffering to be pleasure? It comes from holding on to this I, as cherishing the I. So because of holding on to the I as being very important, yeah, then that leads to attachment. Yeah. Yeah, so the attachment which arises from apprehending something which is suffering to be pleasurable, this attachment arises from basically holding on the holding or considering holding on to the eye as being very precious, very important. Yeah. So, but then if you then analyze and deeper, why do we have this this kind of outlook? Why do we hold the I as a self as so important? Yeah. If you analyze it, basically it boils down to what we have been discussing earlier, the view of the transitory collection. Yeah. There's this very strong sense of I, isn't it? Yeah. And strong sense of ourselves being self-sufficient, independent, you know. We have a sense of ourselves and that of being independent from the aggregates, you know, not dependent on the body and mind. Yeah. So that is the view of the transitory collection, right? So in short, right, true suffering refers to the contaminated appropriated physical and mental aggregates. From where the contaminated physical and mental aggregates arise from? They arose from the true origins of suffering, which are primarily actions, karma, and the afflictions.
Yeah.
Right, so the true origins of suffering is karma, actions, and the afflictions. Yeah, and if you look at the actions that are done, accumulated, they're motivated, driven primarily by attachment, isn't it? But attachment has its source in ignorance. Yeah, attachment arises due to ignorance. If we take the position that ignorance and the view of the transitory collection are the same, yeah, so ignorance is the ignorance apprehending a self of a person, right? Apprehending. So this ignorance is the root, yeah, from which attachment arises, yeah. So thinking about how this contaminated body and mind, how it is risen from ignorance, you know, this is something very important, yeah. Very important to figure out for ourselves to think about.
Yeah.
So we have to think about this. This is very important. We have to see for ourselves, you know, how, you know, all our suffering problems in the body, of course, which includes the suffering body and mind, how all of this comes from the root, which is ignorance. Yeah. So we have to think about this now, you know, see for ourselves. You know. We should, at the end of this, the thinking process, you should be, have this kind of feeling, you know, that this understanding in your heart, you know, that it is so. You know. All of this comes from ignorance.
Yeah.
So we have to see for ourselves by thinking, to see, you know, we must understand and then have some experience, you know, how this is true, you know, how ignorance is the root, the source of all the problems, including our body and mind, and the suffering body and mind, right? Once we have some feeling, some understanding, then we talk about ignorance in detail, yeah. Identify exactly what ignorance is, you know. Then looking at whether there is an antidote, a solution to ignorance or not. Then we have to analyze whether ignorance can be weakened if we apply the antidote, you know. So, when you start to think about this, you know, this is where we start with the next truth and the true cessation, true path, yeah. So if we proceed in such a way, then, you know, our analysis and our understanding would be ideal. We will arrive at a good or ideal, perfect understanding, yeah. So, you know, if you think about, you know, if you organize a thought process in such a way, you analyze in such a way, you know, then when you come to, you know, thinking about true path and true cessation, on the basis of seeing from your own experience how ignorance is indeed the root of our problems, then we will come to recognize, you know, you come to feel in the heart, you know, that that the real refuge, the actual refuge, is the true path and true cessation. Yeah. That's what we call the Dharma Jewel, which is the actual refuge, isn't it? Because on the basis of identifying what ignorance is, then when you see that, oh, you know, ignorance can be removed, and the way to do that, you know, is to cultivate the true path in our minds. Yeah. Then, you know, then you really feel, oh yes, this is my refuge and my actual refuge. Yeah. Then we also come to have an understanding of what Dharma Jewel is. Yeah. So if we understand how the true path and the true situation is, that's the actual refuge, how the Dharma is the actual refuge, then, you know, then you can see, you know, some connection, you know, in your own mind, you know, you have that feeling, then you understand that the refuge, you know, the real protection does not come from the outside, you know, it comes from inside of us, you know. Because if the protection can come from the outside, yeah, then we would absolutely follow that we don't have to do all of this, yeah. We don't have to do anything, isn't it? We don't have to put in any effort. We don't have to do anything, yeah. If the protection it was to come from the outside, yeah. So of course that is not possible. So the real protection has to come from the insight, you know, by generating the true path in our minds.
Oh, Tindesang, that's what they take a son, Dan, because Dan and Dagi Quayan Yin says that on that Rang Jobber Chinet, Rangi Rangres, that's what they take a son. Oh, that negative English.
So that's why the Buddha said, you know, one is one's own protector. Yeah, because the Buddha is saying basically we are the ones who have to protect ourselves. We are our own savior.
Oh, tinder sha, what do shine? That tinder sha, that to na kazan ti, mundo na kare na. Kazan ti shine, that to na, that le, that ni mo ng le sa e, ti ka bata sanbe le dang sanbe le sini da ni chi chi, raba.
Okay, back to karma again. In Tibetan, it's very simple. It's sempe le, but in English, it's karma, that is intention. It's just a mouthful, right? And the other one is just sempe le, you know? Karma, that is the intended action.
What do you mean? Tinema, Kazan Shiva, and Shed, that can't be less sober, that penjig is less. Sonya ye kansa kandeji resena da phagbe sogumares da sojike ures phagbe penjege le sogumare karasena da dambong osum do thongar was dambong osum do thong chadu kana penjege le sogumare esum bu yare.
So who are the ones who accumulate projecting karma? Yeah. Everyone other than the superior beings, the Aryas, right? Why do the superior beings not accumulate projecting karma? Because they have seen the truth directly. Those who have seen the truth directly do not accumulate projecting karma. So, okay, the Aryas, the superiors, do not accumulate projecting karma because, what's the reason? Because they have realized, they've seen the truth directly, isn't it? So when you see the truth directly, why do you not accumulate projecting karma? So when one sees the truth directly, does it mean that ignorance is destroyed right there and then? Answer is no, yeah? It's not immediate, right?
Okay.
So when one sees the truth directly initially, so at that moment, at that time, it doesn't mean that he or she has overcome ignorance completely, you know. But the superior being does not accumulate fresh projecting karma, isn't it? Why? Because when he or she realizes the truth directly, the ignorance in his or her mind is weakened to the extent that it does not have the power to project or create an action that will project a new rebirth in cyclic existence.
Oh, that thanda rang jawa chimala pembar chegi nubada jebe led sapala maripa nubada jebe chegi
kwe. So in order to accumulate an action that is strong enough to project a rebirth in cyclic existence, the projecting cause, ignorance, must kaulat also. That's the point, right?
Oh, that's it. Today, in the Mongosum, the Tonsadu, Penjay, the Sogomares, the Shuman Munaswanta, and the Tao Shalamna, Sungore, the Mombazone, Chipare, Rava, the Sungu.
So, anyway, it is said in many treatises, such as Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom and Vasubandhu's Abhidhamma Kosha, that once the truth is realized or seen directly, henceforth one will not accumulate projecting karma.
What in the Sungara?
Having said that, the person who has seen the truth directly, will the person take on another rebirth? Take on a rebirth due to karma and afflictions.
You get the question? Huh? Or give me the answer. If it's the question, give me the answer. Huh?
After you have realized emptiness directly, then do you still take a rebirth due to karma and afflictions.
Yes. That conditioning us.
How?
Linger is in Pejana, Sebula, the Shimbuka, Nigizan Panchik, Pejana, the Mongos, and Tonaya, that and you know, Linger is Sebush of the Junzenchik, Kanga, dead with Junzenchik.
So, one reason why I brought up this question was because it is stated clearly in the text that they do take rebirth due to the power of karma and afflictions. I just want to see whether you read the text or not.
Look like only 3-4 people read the text. Look like, yeah. Conditioning it, pain.
Okay. Next question is how? Explain how. How superior beings who have realized the truth directly still take rebirth due to karma and afflictions?
Yeah, Patricia.
Must go to the mic.
They would have actually accumulated the projecting karmas previously, which has not been exhausted yet. So even though they do not accumulate new projecting karma, they will still be reborn because of past karmas that have been accumulated. Para.
Okay, good. Your past.
Can I say that it cannot happen, that they cannot take rebirth? Because if you realize emptiness directly, you no longer grasp at phenomena. So according to shuffling of existence, you, even though you have projecting karma, but it's not activated. So you cannot take rebirth.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Not excellent, joking. Wait.
The new Namin Jemu.
Sorry, our answer is I say excellent, so you cannot be excellent. This is the Chigan Tele, Tambu Chikarsen, Pija Korana, the Mongosu Toma, the new Kuaja Olima Yuares, Yunaya, Penjay, the sort of Sogomares, the Jerma Sebusin Sumba.
Jerubuchi, Lama Tongkapa said, once you have perceived reality, that is, selflessness, you may still be reborn in cyclic existence by the power of former karma and afflictions, but you will not accumulate any new karma that can impel such rebirth. Right?
So,
are we saying that what Lama Tsongkhapa said is not true?
He's just saying that you will not accumulate any new projecting karma.
We accept. But it's very clear, isn't it? But you will not accumulate any new negative karma, that's true. But you may still be reborn in cyclic existence by the power of former karma and afflictions, yeah? Yeah. Namasama, Sui Sui, yeah. Both sides covered, right?
Yeah, correct. Okay, previously you have projecting karma, but in order for the projecting karma to work, to prepare the new rebirth, you must have, at the time of death, grasping and craving, right?
Why no grasping?
Because you already realize emptiness.
So they don't have ignorance, lah.
I see. Okay.
Well, it is clear that even Aryas do take rebirth, right? By the power of their former karma and afflictions, right? Then the question is to explain how. Although here, it is not here in this text, but there's an explanation of the levels of the superior beings here. If I get it right, I think there's the stream enterer, the ones returner, the non-returner, and the four destroyer. There are these four levels of superiors
here.
Okay, so you have the stream enterer, once returner, non-returner, and the four destroyer. Of the four, the first two, the stream enterers and the returner, they still take rebirth in cyclic existence under the power of former karma and afflictions. So, the never return, no, it was never, non returner, same one, what you laugh? Never and non different, eh? I also don't know. Non returner, I think. Non returner do not, they do not take rebirth under the power of karma and afflictions. So in the Abhidhamma Kosha, it is clearly stated that for some stream enterers, no, they have to take another seven rebirths in cyclic existence,
under the karma and afflictions.
So in the next section is how you die and are reborn. So this is explained in five parts. Yeah, the causes of death, the mind at death, where heat gathers, how you reach the intermediate state after death, how you then take rebirth. The first one, the causes of death, right? Various causes are mentioned. Yeah? So one dies due to the exhaustion of our lifespan. One can also die due to the exhaustion of merit. Or one can die due to not avoiding dangers. Yeah.
어떻게 했다든지 딱 로마 아니 곧 진시 코로나 쇼나 세부시 어떻게 해야 돼? 아까 소소 녹체 어디 지구에 이 말에 딱 디네마 아니 지 집에 쓴 쓴다 대송해.
So this is a pretty straightforward, right? If you read the text, it's quite clear, isn't it? Dying from exhaustion of lifespan, exhaustion of merit, and from failing to avoid dangers. Yeah? So next one is the mind at death.
So
in the text, it talks about the mind of death. The mind, it's not the mind of death actually, the mind at death. Yeah. At death, it talks about the mind on a coarse level and on a subtler level.
Yeah.
At the time of death, when the coarse consciousness is still operating, at that time, the mind can either be virtuous, non-virtuous, or ethically neutral. So, at the time of death, when the coarse consciousness is manifest, is operating, if one has been accustomed to virtuous states of mind when one was alive, then due to that familiarity, so under one's power, then you are able to bring about a virtuous state of mind at the time of death. If not, it is possible to develop a virtuous state of mind at the time of death with the help of others. Yeah. Being reminded by others.
You know? 치 내가봐 다 치료진이 미준도라 먼저 다 먼저 계속으로 꼬마치에 아니 지금 산재가 상하탄에 다 그러와 아니 산재가 꼬일라치에 어딘데 얘기 아니 지금 다 탑치에 돈다 제디 다 돈을 쪼고 다 있음 온도 교 탑치에 탑치에 말해.
You know, when people are on the verge of dying, when they are about to pass away, you know, we help them, you know, we are the methods to help them, you know, such as reminding them of the virtuous thoughts, reciting mantras for them to hear, and encouraging them to think about Buddha, yeah, and so forth. So these are ways to help the dying person bring about a virtuous mind, yeah.
어 딘데시네 다 딘데기 아니 계심 딘데기 망라 아니 다 지심 참아지 모두 치와 흉바이나 다 대서 더벨라 잡으라 흉해.
So if the dying person is able to pass away, you know, with a virtuous thought, pass away means when at the time when the coarse consciousness is not manifest, and when the consciousness becomes subtle, and then within that passing away in that time, you know, when the that person's mind is virtuous, then it will make a difference. You know, it will help, you know, that individual get a good rebirth. Yeah.
어 다가나시 다가나시 다 미제베 셈라야 다가네 다 랑게 콤베 옹기 다 시선 앞에 내가 소문도 교화치 디메나 신기 긴치제 야 미제베 소문도 교화치 어디에 용대 송고요래
Wow, it's the same for non-virtuous minds at the time of death. Yeah. So, one at the time of death, one can non-virtuous thoughts, non-virtuous minds can arise due to, let's say, familiarity or habituation to these negative thoughts when one was alive, or there are people around who create, who cause one to think of negative thoughts at the time of death.
Yeah.
For this reason, it is better not to, let's say, for example, cry in the presence of the dying person, yeah. Because if one cries in the presence of the dying person, that person may become attached, may worry, may develop attachment, yeah. And that is not good for the deceased, yeah. So therefore, we encourage or we advise friends and relatives of the dying person to not cry in the presence of the dying person, and rather should do things to help that dying person develop positive
thoughts.
If one dies with a non-virtuous mind, then one will not get a good rebirth.
Yeah.
Is dying with a mind that is neither virtuous or non-virtuous does happen. So it is said right that if they are familiar with it says if you did not recall virtuous or non-virtuous minds, either through your own power or through being reminded by others.
Yeah.
Well, if we die with a virtuous mind, we are very likely to get a good rebirth, right? If we die with a non-virtuous mind, then we're probably going to get a bad rebirth, right? But the question is, if one dies with a mind that is neither virtuous or non-virtuous, then what kind of rebirth will one get?
You understand question? Okay. Give me the answer. Ah? Grat sugim. Ah? Anybody can want to? Yeah, Prashant.
I think the karma that they're most familiar with before they die get ripened first. Which can't remember the rest. I think there's a sequence, a couple of sequence. Most familiar, most heaviest, something like this. Yeah. The heaviest first. I remember there's something that there's a sequence for it. Can't remember the sequence.
If it's the heaviest first, yeah, then regardless of the state of mind at the time of death, it's going to ripen anyway, right? I'm honest. So I guess it would be all right to say that if one dies with an ethically neutral mind, then the kind of rebirth that we will get is kind of will be dependent on one's karma, the which one is more powerful, right? I think perhaps you may be okay to say this. But we're not exactly sure. Have to analyze. Yeah.
That dilemma, carry to touch the shadow. That under the sunlight, dilemma. That chill, sim, rabala, jawa, mijawa, lomaten, sort of. That chill, sim, tamodila. That look, that presenter. That presenter. The Dolu Chana, Dolu Chabana, Page Lumadi, be chaps, but was in this one, that she's a ma, Taru doing the Hala, that a part of the cards, Taru doing Nakabla, that some system that a Lumadi Semato Mares, those in Dolula visit the Sumbion.
So at the time of death, the mind at the time of death, when they still cause discrimination, right? Then it's possible to have virtuous minds, non-virtuous minds, or ethically neutral minds. Yeah. But when the mind at death becomes subtle, when the coarse mind becomes subtle, then from the perspective of sutra, the subtle mind at the time of death is only neutral. So from the perspective of sutra, the mind, the subtle mind at death is only neutral, yeah. And so there aren't virtuous or non-virtuous minds. Why? Because in order for there to be a virtuous or non-virtuous mind, those minds, non-virtuous or virtuous, are alert, you know, for their minds that are able to engage with their respective objects, right? Okay? So, when the mind at death is subtle, it lacks the ability to, you know, to be alert, you know, to engage with the object. Yeah. So therefore, it is ethically, well, it is neutral. Yeah. Okay, the subtle mind is neutral from the perspective of sutra. Well, from the perspective of Tantra, there can be the mind, the subtle mind at death, can be transformed into virtuous mind. There's this paragraph in the Namrin Chenmu which says, at the time of death, whereupon discrimination will become unclear, beings are attached to the self with which they have long been familiar. After that, through the influence of attachment to the self, they think, I am ceasing to exist. And then they crave embodiment. This causes the intermediate state. So it said that at the time of death, yeah, due to our attachment to the our identity, ourself as a person, right? Due to this attachment to, you know, then at the time of death, then the fear arises, you know, thinking, oh, I'm going to disappear, you know, I'm going to like become nothing. Then craving, you know, to exist, you know, or it says craving for embodiment, isn't it, arises, yeah. This craving causes the intermediate state. Yeah. Okay, next is where heat gathers. Among those who are currently cultivating non-virtue, consciousness leaves the body, coming down from the upper parts, which become core first. When it reaches the heart, it leaves the body. The consciousness of someone who is currently cultivating virtue leaves coming up from the lower parts, and the body becomes cold from the lower parts. In both cases, consciousness leaves from the heart. The point at which consciousness first enters the fertilized ovum becomes the body's heart.
我都是呢，他从那宁波开始呢，他从那跑到这边都干了，他从那那么些，他人家的嘛，知道吧？那么些人家嘛，培养那些，他培养到同样都，对吧？他都跑到这边去，我提醒过他了。So,
how does one enter the intermediate state? You know, so at the time of death, the consciousness gathers here, at the heart. You know? So once it reaches the heart, and then it leaves the heart, yeah, and then you enter into the intermediate state. So when the exit of the consciousness from the body is when the consciousness leaves the body from the heart, yeah. Then you know the intermediate state is established right there, right away. So once the consciousness leaves the body, the intermediate state is established, right? So in the next section, how do you reach the intermediate state after death? So due to the intermediate state is established or created due to attachment, yeah. And the establishment of the intermediate state is said to be simultaneous with the exit of the consciousness from the body. So as the consciousness leaves from that spot, the heart, yeah. So you die and you reach the intermediate state immediately, yeah. Just as one arm of a balancing scale tips up when the other arm tips down. And it's said that the being of the intermediate state possesses a complete set of sensory faculties. Complete set of sensory faculties such as eyes, as well as the form of the body, it will have in the realm into which it will be reborn. Until it takes rebirth, its vision is unimpeded, like a divine vision. And its body as well is unimpeded as though it had miraculous power. Yeah. So this is as stated in the Abhidhamma Kosha.
That's
So it talks about the appearance of the intermediate state being, doesn't it? Yeah. So if one is to be born as a human being in the next life, then when you're intermediate state, you have the appearance of a human being. You look like a human being. But I wonder if there's tall or short, fat and thin.
That was just joking.
You look like a human being, basically. If you're going to be born as a human being, you know, in this state, you look like a human being. So you have to, what we have to know, one of the things you have to know is that the intermediate state being looks, have the appearance of the kind of body or the kind of rebirth it will take. Yeah.
Well, there are
different explanations about this. Yeah. There's an explanation which states that you look like your previous, you look like basically your previous life in the intermediate state. Let's say you enter in the intermediate state, so you look, you have an appearance of basically like kind of same life, look like yourself, you know, the one who just died.
Oh, that thing is not dying.
Okay, so this is one explanation, yeah. But Lama Tsongkhapa says that this is incorrect. So Lama Tsongkhapa says that that you will look like you will have the appearance of the rebirth that you will take.
Oh, dear, that took China, then that. That Tinday Shana, that Gunze Tinday to Chugan, that Chiman Nashi, Chiman Namjun Nashi, that Gunze Karasana, that Parto Didang, that Parto Jube Didang, and it.
So we take the position that that how you look in an immediate state. In the intermediate state, we're gonna look like the kind of rebirth that we will take. Yeah, if you're gonna look like a human being, you're gonna be reborn as a human being. But and I think the explanation is this, I guess, because the projecting karma that causes us to take that intermediate state and the rebirth which comes after that. You know, it's the same projecting karma. So therefore, I guess, because of this, when you're in the intermediate state, you're going to look like a human being if you're going to be born as a human being. Anyway, this is something we have to think about. But anyway, because Lama Tsongkhapa did say very clearly that you're going to look like, in an immediate state, you're going to look like, you know, the kind of rebirth that you will take. According to the Abhidhamma Kosha, the lower Abhidhamma, once you enter the intermediate state of a particular rebirth, you will definitely have to take that rebirth. That means the intermediate state cannot change. You follow? According to the lower Abhidhamma, the Abhidhamma Kosha, or the treasury of knowledge, once you enter into the intermediate state of a particular rebirth, you are definitely going to take that rebirth. Your intermediate state cannot change. But the higher Abhidhamma, the companion of knowledge, differs. So according to Arya Sangha, the intermediate state can change, can be changed. So Lama Tsongkhapa follows the compendium of knowledge and higher Abhidhamma, which is that one's intermediate state can be changed, right? If let's say one's relatives, for example, or they engage in to accumulate very strong, powerful virtue, and dedicate for the deceased. So it is possible for the deceased in the intermediate state to change, and then get a good rebirth. So it is said that the intermediate state beings see one another, and those with divine vision, those who have divine vision can also see the intermediate state beings. So when we talk about divine vision, there is pure divine vision and impure divine vision, the impure divine vision refers to those people who inherit it from birth. No? It's just they are born with this divine vision. Yeah. So those, it's said that they cannot see. They cannot see the intermediate state beings. Those who are born with such eyes cannot see the intermediate state beings. So only those who develop it through the power of meditation, they achieve the divine vision. This is called pure, and they can see intermediate state beings.
What in the sin that dinema that part of you make chabas that anything that Karswara 딱 봐도 가와 요래서 나 돈다 있니? 다 숙대나 숨에 떠오네? 딱 감오마, 딱 도바당, 숙당, 도감을 짜와 냉해지나? 안 봐도 냐봐도 죽고야, 봐도 죽네? 짜와 냉고야. 딱 도바당, 숙네? 딱 숨에를 짜와 냉해지나? 안 봐도 고구마를 쏘지 숨고야.
도감내로와. 도감당 숨네.
도감당 숨네 숨에를 뜨나?
바도
바도
So for those who are taking rebirth from the formless realms into either the form or the desire realm, they have to go through the intermediate state. But for those who are going to be reborn in the formless realms from the desire and from realms, they don't have to, there's no intermediate state.
Yeah. That dilemma, that part of the Kazuya, the start of that part of any Kazuba, the Gresna, Tantaini, that Chisane, Anishi part of Chesane, Anni, that on that Shibu Shibu for that Tantaini, do that dunes, that on that Tinapot, Rintala Tinapot. Today, never Chaba never. 이나야다 둔다 찍찍네 냐바도 치고 이제 숨고요래 너와
What is the lifespan of the intermediate state being? The lifespan is a maximum of 49 days. It doesn't mean that you will have to stay there for 49 days, yeah. But it can remain up. It can remain in the intermediate state for up to 49 days. But the intermediate state being has to die after every 7 days.
That dunda chik thi nang lo yang that the nima chik sumne ani chi che pe chik jawa leh tinde yung chuk yare. That dunda chik thi nang lo yang chi che nam sa jawa leh chung ne yung chuk yare.
Of course, it is possible for the intermediate state being to take rebirth, you know, before the seventh day.
Right?
So anyway, so if the intermediate state being does not take rebirth on the seventh day, then it has to die and then reborn into the intermediate state again, you know. And if it doesn't take rebirth, you just have to go on the first seven, second seven, and what have you. But definitely within 49 days, lah. So, I mean, but when we talk about the intermediate state being a lifespan, I mean, more like we're talking about from perspective of a human being, right? So, So, the way to count the 49 days, I mean, from the perspective of a human being, yeah, isn't it? As a human being, you know, we talk about days, and in terms of days, and a human being day, yeah? So you see that in general, this is how you count the lifespan, how you count the time of intermediate state being. Yeah. But there are some, there's also explanation that the times, you know, the unit of time, you know, is dependent on the kind of rebirth you're going to take. Yeah. So we talk about days, but the day is from the perspective of the kind of realm of rebirth that you're going to be born. So it may not be a human day. When we talk about day, it may not be a human day, you know. It may be a whatever day, like animal day, insect day, hell day. I guess it's easier if we count it from the... Well, if you think about it, it would seem that you have to kind of say that, you know, it's the length of the day is dependent on the kind of rebirth that you're going to take. Maybe more towards that position. That means if you're going to the hell realm, then you will spend 49 hell days maximum in the intermediate state being lah. That's the... If you have any questions, any qualms, yeah.
Kevin Puche, can you please, because in this middle length Lamrim text, there is some typo errors. I'm referring to page 121, at the bottom of 121, where it talks about the appearances at the time of death. Yeah. So the appearance due to a virtuous mind. Can you see, Venerable Gyume? Mm, yep. So I'm trying to clarify with Ken Rinpoche, what is the actual text for this in the middle length Lamrim? Because this is definitely incorrect, yeah? It says, for those who have created non-virtue. But this, the outline is the appearance due to a virtuous mind, yeah? And I have a question related to what...
I think it's a cut and paste, right?
Yeah, it's a cut and paste thing, but I just want to clarify, and I can't find the particular paragraph to cut and paste in here for this one, just to get the specifics of what is in the middle length Lamrim.
For
virtuous mind.
Yeah, I mean, in the middle length Lamrim is definitely not what is here in English. But I mean, I can't translate word for word. But the closest, the equivalent paragraph is on page 310 of the Lamrim Chemu.
Okay.
The intermediate state appears to those who have cultivated non-virtue as like a black blanket or the pitch black darkness of the night. While to those who have cultivated virtue, it is like a white cloth or a moonlit night. Seems like it's that, right?
Are we confusing that with another outline, which is how the appearance of the intermediate, which is 1, 2, 3, yeah?
Not that one.
Not that one, I think, Ken Rinpoche. It's a slightly earlier one.
The bottom of page 307, yes.
Okay.
Those who have cultivated virtue seem to pass from darkness into light. As they die, various pleasant and attractive images appear as though in a dream.
Okay, that's fine. So we confirm that.
Yeah.
And then my question is regarding the lifespan of the Bardo beings. So Ken Rinpoche just said that the lifespan depends on the days, yeah? Is equivalent to the days of that particular rebirth. You know, that person is going for, right? So if it's human days, if you are reborn as a human, you're talking about 7 human days. It seems to me that, like, you know, the days in the hell realm is so long. So the idea comes to my mind that there must be a lot of people who, a lot of beings who are targeted to go to the hell realms who are still suspended in Bardo. Because the 7 days of the hell realm, 7 days is very, very, very long. Am I not understanding this correctly, please?
I did not say it was certain, yeah, that perhaps that when you talk about the 49 days, you know, the intermediate state, regardless of the intermediate state, is there's one view is that the 49 days is the 49 days of a human being, but perhaps it may also be the 49 days of the rebirth or the realm in which one will be reborn into, right? So there's an explanation by some masters. Can't remember exactly, perhaps Kundang Rinpoche or something, who did say that, you know, the way you posit the 49 days is from the perspective of the rebirth that one is going to be, one will take. You have a issue with the visa, yeah, for the intermediate state. It's too long, right? You feel right? It's too long, right? You feel right? No. Okay. You see. Your point was that because if it's not from the perspective of 49 human days, if it is from the perspective of the rebirth that one is going to take, then the intermediate state was going to be very long, right? But you haven't thought the other way around, no?
Yeah.
So what about the person who is going to be reborn from the hells as a human being? Then whose intermediate state we want to count? 49 days. 49 hell days or 49 human days? Because you said earlier that it is not right to posit the 49 days from the perspective of the rebirth that you are going to take, right?
Your reason is the part of being is too long. If you check like that, your answer is that reason. Too long. That's why you must consider human life. That's your reason, isn't it?
No. No?
That's it's correct, but his verse is too long, right? No problem. What's wrong with staying too long in the Bado? If you stay in hell for a long time anyway, I mean, it's like, you know, in an immediate state being was. Actually, the longer you stay in the intermediate state is safer, no? Because once you reach hell, it's hell. So no worries again. That's what you call a transit visa. Right.
So when you have long transit, then better, yeah?
Transit, yeah? They hope your relatives better get their act together and do some puja. That's right.
Ken Rinpoche, the other day you...
You just ask question, but I'm not going to answer now.
Okay, no.
Time is running. Just question. Yeah. Okay, I don't answer. Yeah.
You know, it mentions about immovable actions, contaminated virtuous actions. Can you elaborate immovable actions?
Next time. time is running. Okay, I'll explain next time. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Finish all the usual prayers.